7:45 at WGCL. It's Big Show Friday. There is the world-famous Chuck Crabb.
A long-riding shotgun today and enjoying a little coffee. I'll wake up and get going.
Warm you up a little bit. Don't worry, the weather will take care of that this afternoon. We'll even have some sunshine, so that's
I'll look forward to that
as well. Yeah. And on the phone with us, we check in with our good friend Joe Smith. Smitty, good morning. How are you?
How are we doing, guys? Charles?
Yeah.
Coffee's always hot at One City Center.
Yeah, no question. You know, get well... well taken care of, Joe, every time I come up to the fourth floor.
I haven't forgotten in some time. I think I might be perfect in the new year.
Oh, you're doing great.
We'll drop the ball at some point, Chuck, so be aware of
it. That makes a mean pot of coffee.
He does that.
Me and my friends at Folgers, one button push and away we go.
There you go. Just add water. You don't even have to add water.
That's right. We get going here on a Friday, Joe, and we've got plenty to do.
Yep.
Chuck and I were giggling earlier this morning about Cooper Bybee and the Edgewood Mustangs, 173 total points in 32 minutes. Well, Cooper had 48 of those by himself. We had a Thursday night game for you right here on the airwaves, and John Callahan and Terry Stoltz had an absolute cracker to call. Tell us what we missed in the Mustang Corral last night. It's two 12-8 teams, a little family ties getting together.
Well, I tell you, it's not like it was unexpected, but wow, what a way to close out the regular season playing on its home court. One final time, and what can you say about the scintillating 48.9 from senior guard Cooper Bybee? 25 over his average is the red and black of J.B. Neal playing on Seniors Night, outlasted Eastern and Cousin John. 88-85, snapping a two-game losing streak, their longest of the year in the process. A new all-time record, and you talk about efficient with 19 shots, you bet. Cooper, 14 of 19 from the floor to hit those 48, and that included eight triples. He missed only one of 13 free throws that he shot. Outstanding, making John Callahan and Terry Stoltz's player of the game the easiest pick in both of their broadcasting careers. The 48 points, more than Brandon Owens' mark of 45. He did that in an overtime win at Greencastle back in 2012. Teammate junior Jayton Howard tonight wasn't shabby by any stretch of the imagination, recording a 23-point, 12-rebound double. So there you have two guys that hit over 70% from the field and missed 10 of 33 shots they took last night, 71 points and 15 rebounds on a night when 71 and 17 more were needed to hold off the pesky T-Birds. Edgewood shot 62%, including nearly 63% from behind the line Thursday night, 20 of 24 from the line, and every point was needed as J.B. Neal's high school alma mater hit 15 three-pointers and nearly 55% for the game, unloading 52 second-half points in this offensive spellbinder out in the corral. Junior Caleb Hamilton hit for 25. Ethan Helton had 21, but too much Cooper Bybee last night, who was in a zone after a 29-point opening 16 minutes. But in crunch time, it was the final drive, one plus, with 73 seconds left. It was the difference on that three-point play that sealed win number 13 for EHS, who is off tonight and will play at Orleans on Saturday night. I tell you, we could have us another barn burner tonight on the airwaves. The 17th-ranked South, who's red hot right now, having won its last 9, 13 of its last 14, equally as hot, Columbus North, who's won 8 in a row, a front line of 6-8, 6-7, 6-7, and Paul Ferguson's Bulldogs playing some mighty fine basketball, led by senior forward Alex King, who's heavily recruited, shooting 61% from the field. He's averaging over 19 a game. He'll be counted by junior Chance Coyle, who's had two 30-point-plus games through this Panther win streak recently. The Dogs average over 31 rebounds a game and four blocks, and they've allowed opponents less than 51 points a game. The South beat Columbus North back in late December at the Noblesville Holiday Tournament, 51-44, but King and 6'7 playmate Jalen Flemons were both out with injuries. Chance and Josh Hall combined for 36 in that one, And that started the nine-game winning streak, and the Panthers haven't lost since, allowing opponents only 43 points a ball game in what has been a 15-3 season to date. And to add to the evening, South welcomes back the classes of 76, 7, 8, and 9, all coached by Hall of Fame head man Bill Springer. At one point in 76, they were 0-10 and won six of its last seven, setting the foundation then for 41 wins over the next 2 years and back-to-back South Central Conference titles, including the school's first in 77, in which they finished unbeaten in the league. The 78 Panthers won the sectional and finished under Springer 23-3, a team that included, well, some familiar names like, current-day principal Mark Fletcher, who was the starting guard. How about Gary Sims, Edgewood Lady Mustang head coach Craig Buffy, who went on to play at Penn State, Big Jeff Parker, the seven-footer that played at Ball State, and Larry Blackwell of note. Booter played at Indiana in baseball and could hit the ball a mile. He was a heck of a point guard as well, and also the father of a young man that we talked a lot about last year. A combined 40th anniversary complete with dinner and program in Carmichael Auditorium starting at 5:30. Welcome back, guys. Hey, let's not forget about the Cougars of Andy Hodson. They look for their fourth straight. They'll be hosting Terre Haute North tonight. The Cougs ripped Mooresville by 32 back on Tuesday night. Terre Haute North is 14-5, and a win tonight on the McKinney court gives North its 10th win of the year. Bob Lovell, Indiana Sports Talk, following our Panther-Columbus North game tonight at 9:30. Well, unfolding at the IU Natatorium later tonight, Friday prelims in the 43rd annual IHSA Girls Swimming and Diving State Finals, better known as the Carmel Invitational. They're the 30-time defending state champion. They set a national record a year ago, if you remember, for the most consecutive state championships in any sport in any state, and they only have the top four seeds in every individual event going into the prelims tonight. Now, let's get local. Phil Cole's South Girls, they were 10th last year. They're 8th ranked in the state. And senior transfer in from Columbus North, Grace Haskett, has the top seed in the 53. And she's been getting faster and faster and faster, 23.27. And plenty of firepower along with Grace, Chelina German, along with junior Mackenzie Luz, swimming in the 200 IM and 500 free. And you're talking about someone that's getting faster, especially that 500 free. She's under 5 minutes right now, and sophomore Phoebe Rensing. The 200 medley, 400 free relays, those girls that I just mentioned swim on those relays. South could have a top five before the weekend is through. And how about Dave Tanner's North girls, largest group ever to the state? Both the 200 free and 200 medley relays. Emma Mann, the transfer student from Berlin, Germany, she'll be swimming in two individual events. And then Melinda Wong, Emmy Bright, Alicia DeMars, and Sonia Rista will be on those relays for the Maroon and Gold. We wish them well this weekend at the IU Natatorium. Things get underway at 6, the diving prelims and semis at 9 tomorrow, and the finals get rolling around 1 o'clock on Saturday. Gymnastics up Thursday of note, Owen Valley beat Andrea Smith's North Cougs in Martinsville in a three-way. The Cougs posted a season high, 101 points. Brittany LaFoon continues her fine winner. She was second in the beam, third on the bars, and third in the all-around. Well, the morning after, Purdue beats Indiana 69-64. We'll talk about what didn't happen. The final 3:45 in a ball game that was tied at that particular point in time as the Hoosiers fall to 5-7 in the Big Ten.
Yep, Joe, big night from Thomas Bryant, but as we've seen, the angle from Indiana has been it needs to be more than one guy, and they didn't get much more help with Thomas last night in a tough-fought game. Indiana on the short side will go inside the numbers, coming back at 8:45.
Sounds good, my man. By the way, if I got just a second, I know
hurry,
Chuck's
hurry,
been.
Hurry.
Okay. Fish, the legend himself. We got legends everywhere. Fish is going to be highlighted on the journey, the Big Ten journey, Sunday night. Catch it.
I think it's going to be
about 9:30.
Excellent. It'll be after that. They usually have a late game on that, so we'll watch for the Fish.
Yeah, after that late ball game.
Great shot of Fish last night, and you and Eric sitting right there.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Maria goes, look, it's Joe Smith. Joe's on TV, Mom.
Yeah.
So that's right. You're famous in our house. Maria watching the game. She doesn't care about the basketball. She just wants to see Uncle Joe. She just wants to see Uncle Joe on the TV. So she was pleasantly surprised. Great stuff from Dick Vitale. And not sure how many more times we're going to see Dickie V in the Assembly Hall. So it's good to get him a game in there. The Hoosiers fought and scrapped. Joe, it reminded me a lot of Sunday. It was a game that was not one that's going to go in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. It was scrappy, as most rivalry games are. It was tough. It was hard fought. There were points at times hard to come by. But the one thing that we saw from the Hoosiers again, Joe, a little tough. Last few minutes, as you mentioned, at 7:45, the last, 3:45, game's tied. Indiana just can't get over that hump yet. That has to start happening here in the next couple of weeks, or it'll be a quiet spring for the Hoosiers.
Well, we have, unfortunately, been down this road before. Failures to close the deal, coupled with untimely mistakes, missed key free throws, poor shooting. Number 16, Purdue, beat Coach Tom's Hoosier 69-64 Thursday night on the McCracken court. Indiana's third home court loss of the year, and time is just, running out on the Hoosiers, now sitting in a ninth-place tie with Ohio State and Penn State at 5-7, with another opportunity ahead Sunday at home against Michigan at 1 o'clock. Michigan pulverized the Hoosiers by 30, if you'll recall, in late January up in Ann Arbor. Neither team last night had more than a seven-point lead, and that belonged to the Hoosiers early in the second half in a game which featured eight ties and 10 lead changes throughout. Purdue got the best of Indiana, the final 3:45. The score tied at 57. The Boilers outscored the Hoosiers 12-7, and the lead never dropped below two, nor did Indiana have an opportunity to re-knot things. Purdue's final five coming from the free throw line over the final 27 seconds to walk out of the Simon Scott Assembly Hall with sole possession of second place in the Big Ten at 9-3. Purdue actually hit one more free throw than IU attempted last night, 17. And that included 10 of 16 in the second half. Indiana shot only 16 free throws, hit 6 of 9 in the second half. So 17-12 there was the difference at the line. And then, sadly, also the final margin of victory for Purdue. Needing a quality home court win, the Hoosiers picked the wrong night to register its worst shooting night at home all season long, 386. Purdue shot 50% the second half just to get to 42% for the game. Yeah, it was ugly offensively. Both teams labored and both traded scoring droughts throughout the night. But unfortunately, the Hoosiers labored more to get what they didn't get, and that was a quality win in the second half, and that was to shoot the ball well. They didn't get that either. Only 34% the second 20 minutes. The threesome of James Blackman Jr. welcomed back after missing three games, Robert Johnson and Josh Newkirk, a combined 8 for 34, 23%, 4 of 16 from behind the line. And worst yet, that trio was only 2 of 16 the second half. The Hoosiers lost to Ron Davis at the 12:22 mark to a blow to the face. He did not return. Juwan Morgan fouled out with 1:02 to play, and then about a half minute later, Thomas Bryant fouled out on that block charge double foul, which also cost Purdue Caleb Swanigan, who departed with his 21st double of the year, 16-14. Okay, what was it, a block or a charge? Well, I guess it was both. Regardless, Bryant left too. He was Indiana's lone offense, 23 points on the night. He wound up scoring 17 of Indiana's second half total points, which numbered 28. Purdue scored 16 points off of 14 Hoosier mistakes, 10 in the second half in this back-and-forth game. If there's a word bigger than must Sunday against Michigan, let me know before the 1 o'clock tip on CBS. Mentioning hoops, tomorrow early tip for Terry Morin's crew coming off a nice road win. An excursion that started in the mud at the Monroe County Airport back the other day. But a nice road win at Rutgers, and now they'll try to beat Northwestern, staying in mid-pack there in the Big Ten. Tomorrow it's Pink Day, and a 12 o'clock tip for the IU women. Elsewhere, how about Jeremy Wertzman's tennis fellas? They're off to a 7-0 start. Got a couple of ranked opponents, 17th-rated Illinois over in Champaign, and then they're back home Sunday to take on number 15 Kentucky at the IU Tennis Center right before the 1 o'clock game in the Assembly Hall with Michigan. Michelle Gardner back for another season as head softball coach. Five games spread out over the course of the weekend as they get rolling down in Tempe, Arizona. Opening up the 2017 campaign, they'll take on Fresno State in Seattle to kick off the five games. Nate Jackson is just two wins away from 100 on the mats, wrestling at 184. It'll be Iowa tonight at 7 at UGM, and then coming in a little bit later in the weekend, Sunday at 4 o'clock, the Fighting Illini of Illinois. Mike Mayer's golfers get rolling. Yeah, it's time for the Big Ten Match Play Championships down in beautiful Palm Coast, Florida. The Hoosiers open up this tournament with the ninth seed, and they're paired against number 8-seeded Iowa to get things rolling in match play competition a little bit later tonight. Remember, Askwee's women tennis center is having a nice start to the 2017 campaign. They're down in Knoxville, Tennessee Sunday to take on the Volunteers, and that'll about do it on the IUB. We've got a hopeful dandy tonight. Indiana, or rather Bloomington South, can clinch at least a share of another Conference Indiana title if they beat the Columbus North Bulldogs. They're not in the chase for the title, but they are certainly red hot with 8 in a row. South has won 9 in a row. Terry Stoltz joins me. We'll have Chalk Talk with JR at 7 o'clock, and Terry joins me for the tip at 7:30, preceded by that 40th year reunion of the classes of 76, 7, 8, and 9, all coached by Bill Springer. He's coming back as assistant Moby McCammon. I mentioned a few of the players earlier today that will be on hand. Good representation. They're going to have a little sit-down dinner and program starting at 5:30 tonight down at Carmichael Auditorium. Also in action tonight will be Bloomington North, equally as hot as everybody else, including Cooper Bivey. The Cougs have won 3 in a row. They'll go for number 4. They're on the McKinney Court tonight, 7:30, alongside 14-game winner Terre Haute North. And mentioning Cooper, the all-time score for one game, 48 last night, and that's scintillating, 88-85, seniors' night win over the Eastern T-Birds. He had 19 total shots to score 48 points in 32 minutes, missed only one of 13 free throws, and hit 8 triples on the night. And Chayton Howard wasn't bad, 23-12. Ponies won 13. They'll go after number 14 down at Orleans Saturday night. We mentioned the girls swimming earlier this morning. The best of luck to all of the maroon and gold and purple and white young ladies competing at the IU Natatorium. And let us not forget our wrestlers. The Evansville Summer State unfolds down in the Pocket City tomorrow at 10 o'clock.
And Jeremiah Guchar, Joe's been named to the under-20 U.S. national team.
Yeah, I saw that.
Bloomington midfielder, plays for Todd Yeagley, the North grad. So great stuff there. He's been with the U.S. national setup for a few years, and this is just another feather in literally his cap. He'll get capped with them as they qualify.
They're going to play over in South Korea this spring, aren't they?
Yeah, the under-20 World Cup comes up in May. They got to qualify first. That shouldn't be a big issue for them. Just but great for Jeremiah to extend that play and get after it there. Tough numbers last night, Joe. Purdue, listen to this. First time they've been held under 75 three times in their last 18 games. They found a way to win all three of those. So, again, when things don't go well, they're finding ways to dig out of their hole.
Well, Indiana, again, you're talking about a team that was shooting about 42% plus from behind the line. And
right.
I mentioned that word, labored, offensively. They only hit 6 of 21 last night.
They did, and the Hoosiers, though, picked the wrong night to have their worst shooting performance at home. Your home court against your biggest rival. Purdue's now won 4 of the last 5 in the series, Joe. It's and that's a Purdue team that hasn't won an NCAA tournament game in 5 years.
Yeah,
that's tough. So let's get a win on Monday.
But good teams this year, look at the top. Good teams make the plays down the stretch.
Just like Wisconsin did at Nebraska.
Well, look at that. And they have now won, Glass, 8 straight overtime games in the Big Ten.
Well, they're also 100-0 when they lead in the last 5 minutes under guard. So you know how that works. Indiana, Michigan, 1 o'clock on Sunday. We'll talk about it all Monday morning.
All righty, my friend. Have a great weekend, Glassman.
Bring home a South victory tonight as well with tea. All right,
buddy. Yeah, go Panthers.
We'll see you. Joe Smith tonight, 7 o'clock, Chalk Talk.